Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second quarter 2022 equity overview in Rambus Chartology. I am going to be presenting this by myself, and we're going to do it in three parts, really four parts. The first part is just an introduction of what we're going to be doing in all four parts. And I want to make a few comments about the Rambus Chartology and the equity charts for the quarter and the year, which you will find if you go to the web presentation at gold.solari.com. Make sure you're logged into the homepage before you go there. It'll automatically log you in once you're logged in at Solari. What you'll see is the charts for the quarter as well as the Rambus Chartology. Rambus has done an overview on the equity markets and precious metals, gold and silver. And the question he asks is, he asked the question, are we in a bear market or are we in a major correction? And a major correction in this bull market is long overdue. Now, if you look at all the shenanigans that we use to keep corporate earnings up, pray for bear market is all I can say. Although there are many, many good companies that'll get caught in the drag down. And the reality is, if you look at what's going on with going direct reset, it's to the advantage of the insiders who are now flush with cash to be able to pick up a lot of assets for cheap. So now the question is, what do I think will happen? It could go either way. I've never seen Rambus as negative on the outlook. I mean, he's not a negative person, but what he's very clear is the bears are in control and there's no indication that we'll get back to even a flat line soon. So he sees things as down. And I should note the vast majority of equity market gains come, there's the old adage, go away, sell in May and go away, because we're into the period in the year that traditionally is the worst performing time for the equity market. So it's interesting. Everybody always says, well, what are you doing? And I'm continuing to average in. So I'm putting money into a screened portfolio. It's also hedged. So it's significantly outperformed the S&P this year just because the market's down. And so the hedge is protecting, but not 100%. So my portfolio's down. But I'm just trying to save. So I continue to save money into it and into precious metals and into cash. So I continue to buy. If you look at what I'm focused on in the equity markets, it's real assets. But it's, if you look at the charts for the year, everything is down and the air is coming out of the bubble. And if you look at the Rambus Chartology, what he's saying is there's no indication anywhere that anything but down is likely to happen for the foreseeable future. So big question, are we in a bear market or are we in a major correction? We don't know, but whichever it is, it's not over. The major correction is not over. The bear market is not over. So it's not a bad time to have a shopping list and know what you want to acquire and why. And we'll talk a little bit more about it in the asset section. So our theme for this equity overview is the same thing. We're going to do it again in the third quarter, just a little bit more intense dive then. And so if anything, this presentation is building up to it. And this is about the process of doing personal and financial planning. And what I've discovered by answering the questions and Ask Catherine, I continually get questions about personal and financial planning. And so I want to take two equity overview quarterly wrap-ups and really focus on sort of a definitive, intense answer that you can refer back to or new subscribers can come to that really describes my approach to personal and financial planning. And I would just say, you can see in our PowerPoint, I have a very simple PowerPoint and detailed notes, which I will put up as a PDF in the commentary after we record this. So it'll come both with the PowerPoint and with the PDF, and all the links that I refer to will be in the PDF. It's sort of a script. So you'll see our tagline, not just an investment strategy, it's a war strategy, because we're talking about a very different environment. It's not an environment where you can have, you know, your political news on one hand and your political participation, and that's separate from your investment news and your investment strategy, which is separate from your career strategy. You know, you're one person, you live one life, everything needs to be integrated. And the reality is we're in an increasingly hostile environment. And my prayer for you is that you live a free and inspired life. And to live a free and inspired life, you have to win at war. So that's what this is about. It's about winning despite a very difficult and high friction environment. So with that, let me just show you an overview. I'm going to be doing, so before I start, right, disclaimer. So nothing in this presentation should be taken as individual investment advice, and I would encourage you to read the full disclaimer. And that's because particularly in this environment, you have to take responsibility for how you allocate your time and resources. And your time and resources have to be allocated across all aspects of your life and the people you love and the people you live with. And so no one else can make those decisions for you. You've got to take personal responsibility to make them. And one of the reasons is it's very important you understand why you did what you did, or if you own an asset, why you own that asset. Because if you don't understand the asset, and if you don't know why you own the asset, then you're going to make a mistake and sell it or use it at the wrong time. So it's incredibly important that you take responsibility and you understand your choices and why you made your choices, so that you can't get tricked or played, you know, out of those choices. Anyway, I will continually refer to the things I do, but don't do it because I do it. Do it because that's the right thing to do for you. So I'm going to do this in three parts. The first part is risk management. The second part is living equity. And the third part is financial equity. Because of the length, you may want to listen or watch them at different times. They come, all the points come again with a PDF script that has all the links I'm going to refer to. We have hundreds of links on Solari, which are relevant to all the topics we'll talk about today. And I would ask that you think of this as a buffet. You don't have to digest everything. I would simply, you know, graze at the buffet and take what's useful for you and ignore the rest. For those of you who've been longtime Solari Report subscribers, you're going to find a lot of repetition here. But what I've discovered is repetition on these points is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, as I go through the materials and make up the notes, I realize, I need to do a better job of this. So please forgive the repetition, but sometimes I think repetition can be helpful. And hopefully this will be a comprehensive presentation that we can refer back to again and again. So with that, let me end the introduction or the first part, and let me go into, I'm going to call these part one, part two, part three. This is just the introduction. So introduction, part one, part two, part three, risk management, living equity, financial equity. And with that, let's proceed to the next presentation. Okay, so we're in the second quarter 2022 equity overview. This is part one. I hope you listened to the introduction. We're going to be talking about risk management. And I want to start by saying that in a high-risk environment, successful risk management is the most important thing you can do in your investment strategy and to build family wealth. We're in an economy and we're in an environment which spiritually, legally, financially is harvesting people. And it's absolutely imperative that you not get harvested. There's no point in making millions of dollars in your financial life and your investments if you're just going to let it flow out the back door. So you've got to start and end with risk management. And I want you to be excellent at risk management. So let's just dive in. I've got two slides listing out the areas that I want to talk about. The first is prayer. I use prayer for me, the best mapping and navigation tool you could have. You've got to quiet your mind. You've got to make your mind coherent. And And as part of that, you've got to take responsibility to face and overcome evil. Again, in a war, you've got to stay alive. So part of it is seeing the enemy, what the enemy is up to. And some of my favorite quotes are one from Carolyn Casey, who says, "Our circumstances are far too dire for the luxury of realism. I find prayer helps me go into a higher mind, and that's where I find real solutions and answers to questions. A lot of times during the most stressful periods of my life, when I wanted information, I would say, you know, I need to know this. How can I find it? And then I'd go into prayer, and the answers very often would come, or if they didn't come, the people I needed to teach me would appear. Another quote I love is from Wim Hof. As you know, I love the Wim Hof method. You are stronger than you think you are. So you have more answers accessible to you through prayer. Some people prefer meditation, but whatever it is, you need to start listening to your inner voice, and you need to build your connection to the divine intelligence, because it's there. So number one tool for risk management for me is prayer, access to a higher mind, access to divine intelligence. The second thing is, you are unique. If you study, if you become an investment advisor or financial planner, you're constantly having to remind and read disclaimers to people saying, you're totally unique and I can't give you any advice unless I really understand your circumstance. And that is absolutely true. Absolutely true. I cannot possibly understand what makes sense for you or for me without tremendous amounts of information about you. I already have it about me. When I was a practicing investment advisor, I would literally on the same day give completely opposite advice to one person as to another. Somebody living in a rural area with a big family and owning lots of guns has a different position in terms of custodying precious metals at home versus a 98-year-old grandmother in Brooklyn. So you really have to know somebody's unique situation to make any kind of intelligent recommendation. And that's why if you get on the internet and get generic advice, don't listen to generic advice. I mean, just don't listen to it, because you're special. You're different. You have to optimize your time and money and resources around your purpose and your goals in life and your unique situation. So while generic advice can be useful, you've got to take it with a grain of salt, because you're unique. So your circumstances dictate how you optimize your time and resources around your needs. The third thing, and this is where I find most people run into the most trouble, and that is maintaining a free and inspired mind. We're in an environment where there's tremendous use of techniques to trick us. So if you look at our commentary, Mind Control Tactic Used on Young People and Everybody Else, it's a collection of the best links on high-tech mind control. I'm not talking about propaganda. I'm not talking about, you know, engineered education. I'm talking about high-tech entrainment that rolls out on digital media, on the internet, on TV, on your smartphone. And it's very, very dangerous and very, very subtle. You know, many people are subject to enormous amounts of mind control and don't realize it happens to all of us. In the Mind Control Tactics link, I tell the story of how I got tricked at a conference where they're using entrainment technology. And every time I think I'm sophisticated enough to understand this stuff and they can't trick me, you know, I catch myself. And there are all sorts of tools you can use to catch yourself. One is, of course, walking into the woods, hugging a tree, and making your decisions, you know, after a good night's sleep and not being online. We have an article by and an interview with Corey Lynn called Loosen Technology's Grip on Your Mind. And it's all about how do you make sure you're judicious in your use of technology and protect yourself from this kind of manipulation. I would say, for God's sakes, throw out your TV, and if you can, get off social media. And if you have to have a smartphone, keep it in a Faraday bag. And if there's any way you can get rid of it, get rid of it. We recommended this week in the Let's Go to the Movies, They Live. In They Live, it's a sci-fi feature, and there's mind control done from these towers. And the only way you can beat the mind control is to a group of scientists get together and they put on a pair of sunglasses. And the sunglasses help you see through the trance. And what each one of us needs to do is we need to build a pair of sunglasses to see through the trance. And it's a learning journey. It's never over, but you can do it. I once had Daniel List, when he first discovered the Solari Report, that's Daniel List of Dark Journalist. He kept saying, I don't understand what you're doing here. And he finally came back to me. I hadn't watched the movie They Live. And he said, oh, I see. You're trying to give people a pair of sunglasses. I said, exactly. That's exactly it. This is building a free and inspired mind, protecting your mind from influence that is subconscious or sneaky, I think is one of the most important things you can manage risk in this environment. Interestingly enough, there's a great book on the phenomena of young women wanting to do irreparable harm to their bodies through drugs or surgery, thinking they're transgender. And the attorney's number one recommendation, the attorney who writes it, her number one recommendation is don't give your kid a smartphone. Now, why is that? Imagine the worst organized crime syndicate you've ever seen in the movie. So let's take, I'm always using Spectre from James Bond. Imagine that the smartphone is a personal surveillance device that allows Spectre to see everything your child does, record everything your child does, and reach your child's subconsciousness without your knowledge and permission. Why would you give Spectre 24/7 intimate access to your child who has no training or knowledge or ability to protect themselves against it? That's what's happening. So think about how you're going to protect you and your family and make sure you have a free and inspired mind. Okay, the next one is build a map and intelligence network. Our whole goal at the Solari Report is to make this job fun and easy for you. So if you look at the quarterly and annual wrap-ups we do, I'm a great believer in focusing both personal planning and investment strategy around primary trends. If you can understand the long-lived trends that are going to rock our world, a lot of them are political and macroeconomic. So the rise of Asia is a long-term trend. Investment in space and the growth of the space-based economy is a long-lived primary trend. So what we try and do in each wrap-up is focus most of our quarterly themes on long-term primary trends so that over time, every quarter, you learn a new primary trend. And, over a couple of years, you pretty much get a very good understanding. And part of that is so you invest your time into getting intelligence and building your map in areas that aren't going to change that much. They're long-lived trends. Also, we want to understand what's going on currently and how it fits into those primary trends. And so we have a process of digesting the news and giving it to you with quarterly analyses in the wrap-ups with news, trends, and stories. And our goal with news, trends, and stories, it's a serious collection. We do it now around war fronts and the actions you can take on those war fronts. But our point of doing that quarterly digest that we do with Dr. Joseph Farrell is to, if you have no time for the news and you never watch the news, you just listen to those quarterly recaps of what's going on. You'll be the smartest guy in the room. That's our goal. But obviously we are posting everyday news, trends, and stories into the news, trends, and stories section of the subscriber only website. And we have money in markets every week with John Titus, except for the last week of the month. So that's to digest the what's happening currently, but we try and keep bringing it back to the primary trends. I think books are a great way of deep diving what's going on in this world. Every annual wrap up, we have a best books of the year. Throughout the year, we have regular book reviews and then movie recommendations. And the goal of the movies and documentaries is, again, it's a much more fun, entertaining way to access knowledge about what's going on. And obviously, we have different posts. Part of getting building a good map and an intelligence network is understanding the difference between the official reality and reality. So we live in a world where the official reality is very, very different than what's really happening. There's tremendous amounts of secrecy and covert operations, particularly around the economy and how the money is managed. And what has happened as the two have gotten further and further away, I knew we were in trouble in the 90s when everything on the morning news show was all about cooking. You know, it's a problem. So what you need if you're going to navigate your world today is you need to know what the official reality is, and then you need to know what reality is. And here is one of the most important things I can teach you. The official reality is for what you're going to talk about when you're at a cocktail party with a group of strangers. Reality is what you're going to use for risk management. If you want to fail in life and lose all your resources and time and money, you use the official narrative for risk management and you talk about reality at a cocktail party with a group of strangers. So it's very important not to get these two mixed up. The Japanese have a wonderful system called Hona, and I think it's Tatamai, where they have, you know, what really is and then what we would like it to be. So it's a similar concept of, you know, understanding the multiple personality disorder in our picture of reality and knowing how to navigate using both. And, you know, I wish it wasn't this way, but it is. But please make sure the most important thing to me is that you use reality for risk management, because if you try and protect your time and money with the official narrative, you'll get killed, because the official narrative is designed for evil to take advantage, harvest you, and in some respects, depending on who you are, kill you. So it's best to use reality for the risk management. And a lot of times people will say to me, you know, this is way too depressing. I don't want to know it and I don't want to learn about it because it just is going to get me depressed and then I'm not going to be effective. Well, here's my message for you. If you don't use reality for risk management, then you're going to make mistakes that are going to get you killed. So this is a war. And you can't pretend it's not a war because you need to duck when a Scud missile comes in. So you need to know how to, in my opinion, you've got to go through the door of grief to get to the side where you have a good map that can serve you well on risk management. One thing I would recommend that will help you tremendously, and that is learn your family history. If you really go back and learn your family history back multiple generations, what you'll find is this harvesting machine has been harvesting your family again and again and again for many generations. And if you want to up your performance, you'll get a better map than unfortunately your ancestors were able to get. Okay, so build a map and intelligence network. One of the things we do in every, certainly in the annual wrap up, but we try and put it in some of the quarterlies is, and you can get it on the website with Take Action and Inspiration. We list the members of what we call our new media syndicate. So these are people in the new media who we admire. We read them. We try and support them. There's lots of great sources out there. One of the most frustrating things for me at the Solari Report is subscribers who continue to waste time on disinformation because it's entertaining or because they think it's hopeful or, you know, there are many different reasons. But one of the things we try to do is run a high filter. We don't always agree with all the members of our new media syndicate. Everybody, you know, there's plenty of disagreement among us, but you want well-intentioned people who really are trying to help you have a free and inspired life and a free and inspired mind as well. So I would say, please don't waste time on disinformation. You need to know the difference between news and entertainment and intelligence. We're trying to provide intelligence. Sometimes we do cover the news, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to give you really good intelligence, including for personal and financial planning. If you want entertainment, don't get it by reading disinformation or watching disinformation. Get it by getting an absolutely first-rate, excellent movie and documentaries. There's so many great documentaries and movies that are very entertaining. Why would you waste time on disinformation? So be careful. Until COVID, one of the things that I struggled with was persuading subscribers and my investment clients when I had them was the importance of jurisdiction. And now with COVID, I think many people understand the advantages of, for example, if you're in the United States, the advantages of living in Florida as opposed to California. So literally, if you had a business in Florida, you still have a business. If you had a business in San Francisco, you probably don't have a business. So jurisdiction and the lawfulness of jurisdiction is exceptionally important. After protecting your mind against sort of undue influence and manipulation, one of the most important things you can do is learn about how the money and the power work around you and get to know how the economy and the finances work. I put a link in our script notes to Unpacking Your Financial Ecosystem, and also a great book called Follow the Money, A Citizen's Guide to Local Government. We have numerous links in the Take Action wrap up and on the website about how to participate locally in a variety of different ways. We even have a great piece in the COVID-19 forums on how to talk to your school board, or how to deal with the school. We put a link to participatory budgeting as well as, we did this in the old days, our criteria for choosing a home base. And then Who's Your Sheriff was a salary report we did. That's for the our U.S. subscribers on how to find a great local sheriff or how to support your sheriff. You want to support excellent leadership in your jurisdiction. You want to know who the excellent leaders are, and you want to do everything you can to support them. I would just really stress, if you're not in a good jurisdiction, it's not a bad idea to pick up and find one and move. And if you look at a lot of the places in the world, people are absolutely switching jurisdictions because of what's happened in the last 2 years and the incredible difference between being in a good one and a bad one. If you have sufficient resources to do it, to set up either accounts or base camps in multiple jurisdictions, some people want to do that, and it's definitely a good form, in my opinion, of diversification. You know, and it depends on how many resources you have. Some have, you know, money in the Cook Island trusts, and some have money in the typical havens. But it pays to have resources in multiple jurisdictions and bases in multiple jurisdictions if you can. One of the things to understand is that jurisdictions are fluid and political leadership changes. And so a jurisdiction that was great yesterday will not be great tomorrow. So in Unpacking Your Local Financial Ecosystem, I talk about some of the different criteria I use to choose where I live. I wanted to live in a place where the pension funds were fully funded, the government had low debt and was very fiscally accountable and responsible, and where in the United States the state legislature was excellent on the Second Amendment, which is the right to bear and carry firearms and own and carry firearms. So, and it was a combination of those things that why I chose Tennessee. And so far that has, I would not say Tennessee was the best state during COVID, but that criteria stood the test of time. So if you're not in a good jurisdiction, I would do everything you can to get into a good jurisdiction. And a lot of times people ask me, what is a good jurisdiction for me? And the answer is, I don't know. Because one of the things you want is you want to be with a community of people you know and trust, and they know and trust you. So moving to a place where everybody's a stranger can be very risky and very dangerous. So you have to do it with great care. So your particular circumstance, what you do in terms of generating income, who you know, where your family is, these are all things. Your personal story has a great deal to do with what is the best jurisdiction for you. The one thing I would say, one of my favorite quotes is, movement is life. You want to be prepared to get up and go. So if the fires come to your place, you got to be prepared to get up and go. If the regulations and the law changes, you got to be prepared to get up and go. So don't get stuck in any one place. When I created my home base, when I settled the litigation in 2006, I created a home base in Tennessee, but it was specifically designed in a very low-cost area. I put a lot of money into getting the property the way I wanted it, not in a way that would make the property worth more, but in a, if anything, I tore down a house and so I could use one property as garden, so clearly lowered the appraised value. But I set it up to for, you know, my goal was resiliency. So I had my own well, I had my own generator, and I had designed it so that it was sort of very low to the ground and modest in how much I had to take care of and how much I had to maintain. I wanted something that was relatively low maintenance. I felt I would be traveling extensively for the rest of my life. So I saw it more as a base camp than as a something to put down roots. Some of us like to put down roots, but this is an environment where you need to be prepared to travel light. So it's not a bad idea to start tidying, and you know, if you don't need it, you know, the more you can downsize your possessions or your space in this environment, I think it's very sensible. So just remember, movement is life. Don't bet the ranch. Let's say you pick out a jurisdiction and you hope for the best, but don't bet the ranch that it's going to be necessarily the place you want to stay for the rest of your life. Okay, planning. I'm a great believer in planning, and I come from, if you look at the sort of the establishment, how the establishment works, they're great believers in plans. So we were trained and brought up to plan. COVID-19 has introduced a lot of people to scenario planning, and scenario planning is something we've used on the Solaria Report from the beginning. Every year we do scenarios for our investment and personal planning. We have a great interview with one of the best leaders of scenario planning I know, called Scenario Thinking with Eric Best. And I've put some other links in the script to help you with planning, including a couple from the American Institute of Economic Research on different aspects of planning, including sort of planning for worst case scenario and how to avoid financial and legal tangles, which I think is a, you know, there's some great advice and they have some great materials there. But I would particularly recommend, yeah, it's called How to Avoid Financial Tangles. So I would absolutely, the idea of scenario planning is to be able to define the key variables that will determine what happens in the future, and to using those key variables to generate a series of scenarios that help you plan to make sure you're, you know, you can rock and roll in any scenario and do well in any scenario. When I do portfolio strategy, I'm always looking to allocate my assets. It's like, you know, fielding your players on the chessboard so that you're going to be successful in every scenario. So, for example, core position in gold and silver is really central bank insurance. It's insurance for the worst case. Now, let's say you buy your core position for the worst case, but the market is up and flying and everybody's making money and your precious metals is flat, it's not doing well. You know, I've had people come back and say to me, "Well, my precious metals isn't doing well." I said, "Of course it's not doing well, because we're not in that scenario. You have it for the worst case scenario. Thank God we're not in the worst case scenario. It's your core position. Don't worry about it. Just let it be. Don't worry about, You know what the price, it's not there to make money. It's there to make sure you're protected in the worst case. So I like to allocate resources to make sure you're successful in all those scenarios. And so scenario planning helps to do that. One great saying about scenario planning is if you have a plan for the worst case, you don't have to worry about it. And we tend to start to fret about what's going to happen in the worst case if we're not prepared for the worst case. Now, there's some worst cases I don't prepare for because, you know, we're just all going to be dead. I don't worry about those. Anyway, I recommend it to you. And in the annual wrap up each year, you'll find our scenarios and see if they're useful to help you. I'm also a great believer in SWOT analysis and doing lessons learned. You know, when you finish a project or you finish a period, and I will say this, most entrepreneurs tend to do reasonably good business planning for their business. They don't invest enough time for their family. And I think families really do need to have plans together and do need to take time to come up with plans about how they could be more effective together. So I always tell every person I know, particularly couples getting married, for heaven's sakes, do an annual calendar, because a lot of a successful marriage is about investing your time and how you do it individually and collectively. But do a calendar with everybody, you know, with the holidays and birthdays and the family obligations on all related families, and, you know, think strategically about, okay, how are we going to invest our time this year that gets us the best result for us? I want to just say a word on taxation, whether it's jurisdiction thinking or risk thinking, you really want to understand what the taxes are in your world. And a great way to save money or build wealth is to pay as little taxes as is legally possible. And the other is to make sure, you know, that you're thinking of taxes, that you're complying with taxes. What you don't want to do is you don't want to get out of compliance with the taxation system unless you're consciously doing it and prepared to do it. So taxation and related regulation is a huge area of risk for many people. So take the time to learn the tax obligations. Make sure you're keeping all the records and other things you need to be compliant with your taxes. And part of planning is doing everything you can to figure out how you can successfully to avoid paying taxes legitimately. So make taxation part of your planning process. Okay, and I should just go back and say a lot of how I designed Solari and what I was going to do for the rest of my life when I started Solari was very much in minds of what would be successful taxation strategies. And as a result of that, I was able to roll all my losses from the litigation into Solari. And, you know, I will say this, a lot of what helped Solari for many years was being able to claw back those tax loss carryforwards over time. Okay, the next category, avoid and mitigate the great poisoning. I talk a lot about the great poisoning on the Solari report. And if you've been a subscriber for any time, you've heard me talk about spraying and the GMOs in the food and the pesticides in the food and the vaccines. And now you hear me talk about the COVID-19 injections. I was poisoned many, many times during the litigation. And as a result, I learned a lot, both about poisoning and about detoxing. I still have a lot more to learn. I don't confess to being an expert on any of this, but certainly in terms of experience, I got quite an education. And what I will say is that most of the people, particularly in the you know, other than the very, very wealthy, most of the people I know are ingesting a huge amount of toxic materials. It's coming to us in the air, it's coming in the food, it's coming in the water. Fluoride is a big one. And you have to be unbelievably conscientious about identifying where the compromises are coming and taking action to protect yourself. That's why we spend a lot of time on the Saleri Report going through the food series, the health series. We did the wellness series. And we talk a lot about how the poisons get in and what you can do to get them out. I have a big series that I did several years ago called Deep State Tactics 101. And when I wrote the first article on COVID, it was part of Deep State Tactics, the COVID injection fraud. It's not a vaccine. In fact, it's not a vaccine. It's a gene therapy. Once it got a hold that it wasn't a vaccine and nobody was going to call it that, and everybody started calling it the injections, they changed the definition of what a vaccine was to try and make it a vaccine. But I'm sorry, it's not. It's gene therapy. It's also poison. The reports, if you haven't read the Skidmore survey, it's something you want to read. But once you read the Skidmore survey of what's happening to people as a result of the COVID-19 injections, you'll understand they're being poisoned. So this is a depressing situation to face, because what it means is through all the different parts of your life, the air you breathe, the water you drink, the food you eat, there's this stream of poisons which are literally invisible. You can't see them. And you've got to contemplate the fact that they're there and then start to dramatically improve the quality of the food you eat, the water you drink, to make a very long-lasting change in your life. And it's a big project to learn all this stuff and then to do what you need to do, but I assure you it's worth it. Because when you watch a group of people who've been systematically poisoned, they are, this is what is causing the chronic disease epidemic in America. Fraud is a big one. And we have healthcare fraud, we have financial fraud. The reason I keep pounding the table, you'll hear me say it again and again, there is nothing more important than the quality of the people you associate with. You need doctors who are both competent and ethical. You need nurses who are both competent and ethical. You need experts and professionals in every aspect of your life who are both competent and professional. I keep harping on the story of Gideon, and I've got a great interview with Thomas Meyer on the story of Gideon. But the story of Gideon is the story for our day, because it says, if you can limit your association to people who are competent and ethical, you can get a lot done. And if you don't, you can end up dead or chronic diseased or worse. So, doctors who were either not ethical or not competent or mind controlled ended up killing a lot of people over the last 2 years. So, in a high friction environment, you need to make sure that you are dealing with highly reputable people and avoiding the fraudsters. And I assure you, when we go through a period like this, the fraud skyrockets and the resources available to protect you against them diminish. So, one of the things I find that tricks people into financial frauds, in addition to the entrainment technology, so rule number one, protect your mind and make sure you use resources on the internet and the phone judiciously, because I've seen lots of financial fraud sold with entrainment technology used on the phone or used with, invasive surveillance technology. So, again, if you go back to the links on mind control, you can find more about that. But one of the things that tricks people into fraud is wanting to go along with the insiders. You want that insider deal, and so-and-so professes to be an insider and have access to insider information. And if you go along with him, you can get above market yields, and the next thing you know, you're defrauded. It was very interesting because I helped a lot of people clean themselves up from Madoff and related frauds done at that time. And many of them had been tricked into it because they wanted to be in the in crowd. And the next thing you know, the in crowd's picking your pockets. So financial fraud is a trillion-dollar business. This is a very big business. And so you want to be exceptionally careful about making sure your mind is not influenced by mind control when you're making decisions, but also that you are looking at things very logically and with good mathematics. And then you make sure in all aspects of your life, you have professionals and experts and friends and people who are both ethical and competent. You know, a good circle of high quality people can do a lot to protect you. Okay, don't get a control file. Some of you may be saying, what is a control file? And I have an article in a library on what is a control file. We did it during one of the Salieri reports we did on one of the pedophilia scandals. And of course, pedophilia is a great way to get dirty pictures on people, which is a great way to get control files. I keep warning our subscribers about pornography. My fear is pornography is used online with entrainment technology to get you addicted, and then they migrate you to an underage site, and bam, you know, they've got the digital record. They have you watching an underage actress, and the next thing you know, they got a control file. So just be really, really careful that you're not falling for an entrapment of any kind. So just remember, if it's online, it's accessible. You know, I'll never forget going to a conference and having a whole bunch of crypto traders tell me that their trades were private, so they weren't going to report them for taxes. I said, good luck with that. They've got them. We also, again, let me bring up the series we did. It's in 12 parts called Deep State Tactics, where we go through all the tactics that are used to trick people. And that includes a lot related to fraud, because the key to a lot of those tactics is you want to make money using those tactics. Anyway, but don't get a control file, and listening to Deep State Tactics, I think, will help you understand some of the tactics they use and some of the entrapments. Sex. I had one subscriber say, official narratives for the nightclub, don't bring the official narrative home. And this is related to the official narrative versus reality. Again, you want to be very, very careful of your associations and who you give access, intimate access to your data, to your knowledge, to your life, you know, to your emotional well-being. So, you know, this is an environment to not bring a lot of strangers home. I would be very careful who you bring home. But this, I bring sex up because sex is often used to get control files on people, and it's often used to defraud people. So just think very clearly about how you want to organize and manage your sex life. Self-defense. A lot of us grew up in an environment and communities and worked and lived in places where we didn't have to worry about self-defense. You know, that was by and large a lawful culture and environment. That's not the way it is anymore. And so many of us, for example, are gun owners. I'm a gun owner. I just saw a new article, 42% of the new gun owners in the United States are women, because there's clearly an advantage to a woman in being trained and well-armed. You do want to have situational awareness. You can't assume that, you know, that you are safe in your home, out on the streets. You want to have situational awareness if something is wrong. I'll never forget coming out of the train station in Zurich. And I wanted to go for a walk in the park. And Zurich at the time, I think it was 2018 or 2019, is one of the most lawful jurisdictions in the world. And as I went into the park, I realized that I was being spotted by a spotter. A lot of times the pickpocket teams or organized crime teams will work in a team format. One of them is a spotter. And I could tell he was a spotter and he was working with two other guys. And I realized, oh, if I walk into the back of the park, God knows what will happen. And I thought, You know, I would never have dreamed that you would have a spotter and a pickpocket team working in Zurich. I'd never run into any trouble at all for decades in Zurich. And it was sort of a sad moment because I realized, well, you know, Zurich's going down. You know, because normally in a good jurisdiction, that will not be permitted. And they were clearly immigrants. And this is part of the problem with the flood of immigrants into Europe. You get these organized crime networks, which are basically harvesting. Anyway, but I saw the spotter spot me and thought, uh-oh, I'm going to have a problem. And I turned right around and said, forget about the walk in the park. That's situational awareness. And more you want to develop and have situational awareness. Now, there's a lot of other things you can do in terms of martial arts or training or weightlifting or other things physically to be prepared to handle yourself in terms of self-defense. I leave that to every one of you as to what you do and how to do. And also, you can organize. You can organize and neighborhood watch or do things with your neighbors. But I think the days of assuming that we can not have to worry about self-defense is over. And self-defense may be an area where you want to invest time and money in coursework. There are a lot of great courses to teach you how to do self-defense, to teach you how to use a gun, to, you know, there's all sorts of training. I put a link to a fairly old book that I love called The Gift of Fear by a gentleman who runs his own highly successful security firm. And it's one of the best books I know that teaches you to trust your intuition because your intuition is very, very good. And if you cultivate it and adapt it, it'll really help to protect you. Finally, we have an article called Coming Clean that we've been rewriting and evolving ever since 2004. It's sort of a product of the whole Soleri team. We have a wonderful subscriber who just posted something he always says again. He's a very devout Christian, and he always posts, he said, you know, just clean yourself out. And the more you clean yourself out, and these are my words, not his, the demonic forces can't get in and they can't attach themselves. And the more you can access the divine mind, the more you can access the kind of intuition that will provide you with protection in self-defense. I mean, I will tell you, I've been protected from physical death so many times by spiritual forces that I've come to count on miracles. It works. And I always tell people, you know, you can spend all day long protecting yourself against the bad guys with risk management, but ultimately you need to be on the side of the good guys. So you need the angels helping you with risk management. And coming clean is a way of walking through all aspects of your life. And it's a very similar construct to the one we're using in this equity overview of both risk management, living equity, and financial equity. I think we call it cross-cutting and then living equity and financial. But it's going through all aspects of your life and really significantly upping your game in terms of the quality of who you interact with, who you do business with, and the quality of the, you know, the excellence you bring to the world. So it's all part of having that free and inspired life. So that's a great resource. It's called Coming Clean, Building a Wonderful World, and I recommend it to you. Okay, so let's just go back and quickly, I just want to recap what we covered in risk management. Prayer, you are unique, therefore have your own plan. Only you can do your plan. Many people say to me, you know, I just don't know enough about all this stuff to lead my own plan. I assure you, you do. And take the time, you know, invest a couple hours a week to do the learning you need so you can do your own. You know, you can be the board of governors of your own personal and financial plan, because only you can make the sort of optimization judgment. So you are unique. We want you to have a free and inspired mind, not a mind-controlled mind. We want you working for you and not for Mr. Global. So don't let Mr. Global sneak in and turn your mind. Build a great map and a great intelligence network. And that's part. None of us are smart enough to know everything. So if you jump on and start talking in the commentaries at Soleri, what you'll discover is there's this fabulous intelligent network. Or if you go to Soleri Connect, which is our little social media platform, it's a way of finding people both in your place who are interested in the things you're interested in, building a great intelligence network. Jurisdictions, if you're not in a good jurisdiction, get to one. If you have one and can afford to have multiple, get multiple. Planning, please invest time in planning. Please take the time. It can really make an enormous difference. The people who run the world are planners. They're just constantly planning, and because they know it's such a great investment. Mitigate the great poisoning. I did a speech that keeps floating around the internet on Children's Health Defense on financial rebellion, where I explained the fact that you can make all the money in the world in terms of your career and income and have a great investment strategy and get great investment returns. And one COVID-19 injection poisoning can bankrupt a family. You can end up with $1 to $5 million of present value expenses just from one vaccine injury. So don't let yourself and your family be poisoned, because that money's just going to roll out the back door. It's phenomenal how expensive it is. Do everything you can to avoid financial fraud and fraudsters. Don't get a control file. You know, one of the things I always say is absolutely obey the law unless you're clear you're not going to and have a reason and a defense and be prepared to defend. Don't let anybody get a control file on you. Be careful about who you bring home and who you bring into your bedroom. Just be very, very careful on your quality filters. And then self-defense, the day has come when we have to start thinking about how we're going to take care of our own physical defense. And finally, coming clean is a great resource. The more you can permanently move to, into sort of in cahoots with the divine intelligence, the more your navigation skills will be outstanding. So that's it for risk management. In the next section, part two, we're going to go on to living equity. Part two, living equity. So take a break and get ready to dive into living equity. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me on the second quarter 2022 equity overview.